And so today, as promised some weeks ago, we're going to start a new sermon series titled Money Talks. How many of y'all know money? Money talks. We're talking about a biblical take on earning, spending, and saving, and giving money. Money talks. Money is powerful, y'all. Money has juice. It has influence. That money influences the decisions that we make, the actions that we take. Money has influence. Money is persuasive. But here's the truth. When money talks, it simply echoes the condition of our hearts. And so I want to ask you this morning, when money talks to you, when money speaks to you, what's the condition of your heart and how do you respond when money talks to you? The great R&B group, the OJs, had it right a long time ago. For the love of money, people will steal from their mother. They'll rob their own brother. That money will make you do things. Some good things with it and do things. Some bad things with it. But money talks. Money can buy a house, but money can also buy the vote of a politician. Money can settle judgments in the court, but money can also bribe a judge. Money's used to celebrate a wedding. You need money to celebrate these grand weddings, but money will destroy a marriage relationship. Money is needed to build a church, y'all. Money is FBF5, let's do it again. Money is needed to build a church, but if you're not careful, listen, money will tear a church apart. Build money talks. And so in this series, we're really looking at in this consumer-driven society in which we live, where we idolize and we worship money. How do we walk that fine line and have this balanced perspective of our coins, of our dollar bills, of our greenbacks, how do we have a balanced perspective of how we deal with our finances? It's interesting, y'all, that when you go to scripture, Jesus talks about money. The New Testament and the Gospels more than just about any other subject that he talks about. Yet in the church, this whole subject of money is often neglected. Usually the only time we talk about it is at the first of the year doing our stewardship campaign that you got to give your time, your talents, and your treasures. That's what we say, to give your money. Money, can I just be real with y'all? So here's I told the ministers this. I shared with them that I don't talk a whole lot about money. I don't, because I realize that money is a touchy subject. It's highly personal. And so whenever I stand on this platform and we talk about money, I want to do it from a biblical standpoint, because people are touchy about their money. So how does this subject in scripture apply to us every day, our everyday lives? How do we talk about money in relation, our relationship to God and to one another and to the world? And so these are the questions that we're tackling in this sermon series. So turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 9 through 10. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 9 through 10. I'll read from the New Living Translation of the Bible. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 9 through 10. It simply says this: "But people who long to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many foolish and harmful desires that plunge them into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. And some people craving money have wandered from the true faith and pierce themselves with many sorrows." So, as money speaks to us today, I'm asking the question, when it speaks to you, does money say, chase me or earn me? Chase me or earn me? Again, money, when it talks, it simply echoes the condition of the heart. Some of y'all retire, so we're talking about earning money today, earning money. Some of y'all retire, so don't go to sleep on me. You say, I did that, been there, done that, got the T-shirt, and so now some of y'all, I got my fixed income and I'm doing all right. So stay tuned. Don't go to sleep on me. But I'm looking around the house today, and there are many of you that are, how many still in the workforce today? Raise your hand. You still doing it. How many is excited about getting up tomorrow morning and going to work? I didn't get a whole lot of amens on that. but we earn money, y'all. We earn money. But the question is, will we chase money or will we earn money? And there is a difference between the two. Both result in gaining income, whether you're chasing it or earning it. But earning money through purposeful work, honest work, is all right with God. That God put in us to earn money. We have to work for money, and it's all right, y'all, to work for, to earn the money. But here's what I understand about God and his word. Even when it comes to earning money, even when it comes to going to the workhouse, y'all, when we don't even want to go, that it's our way of representing God and who he is to the people that are around us, even on our jobs, that we earn money. We got respect for money, but we don't chase money. Because when you chase money, it doesn't matter who you step on, what it takes to get it. There's some folk that want to get rich or die trying, and they don't care who they have to backstab. You know, whatever it takes, that they're going to earn them dollar bills, that them gabba, they're going to earn the money, and they chase money. So how do we learn to give money the right script for our lives? Will you seek to earn money in an honest, respectful way and respect money? Or will you spend your life chasing money? That we need a script for our lives that honors us, the people that we serve, our family and our friends, and a script about money that honors God. Will you earn it or will you chase it? So, text for today, the Apostle Paul writes to Timothy, his protege in the ministry. And Paul is writing from prison to Timothy to encourage him and to provide instructions to Timothy. And so in our text for today, he's saying to Timothy, basically, listen, godliness with contentment is great gain. Guess why, Timothy? We bought nothing into this world if for certain we can take nothing out. And so Paul is encouraging Timothy, giving him instructions about the motivation of the heart as it relates to money. Walk with me, y'all, for just a minute. Paul, the apostle, talks to the preacher and the pastor about being careful how he handles money. Can you imagine a pastor, a preacher, mishandling money? What you laughing at? Certainly not. Yeah, so I said that in jest. How many preachers, how many pastors, how many church leaders get caught up in this whole fix about money and find themselves in trouble, find themselves on the news smiling, finding themselves with that number across their chest? All because of dealing with this issue of money, this desire for money, an evil desire for money. Money can be deceiving. We can get caught up over money. And too many people are in this rat race of life, like that rat on the wheel, and the wheel is spinning and spinning and spinning, and you're really getting nowhere, and you really don't get where you want to get as it relates to money. Can I ask you a question? Think about this. How much money is enough? How much is enough? And what will you do to get it? What will you do when you stand at the crossroads of life and there's money and there's your faith, your trust, and your hope in God? Will you take the wrong turn and go down the money trail and get on the rat race to gain that money? Or will you simply allow yourself to trust God for the money that he allows you and me to earn? So that's why Paul says in the text real quick. He says, listen, Timothy, listen, But people who long to be rich, you ask somebody sometimes, y'all, you know, when you grow up, what do you want to do? I just want to be rich. What do you want to do? What's your heart's passion? What vocation do you want? It don't matter as long as I'm rich. Listen, young people, that's the wrong mindset. You know, you've been watching too many videos and stuff. That's not the right mindset. God has crafted you and shaped you for a purpose and even for a vocation. So when I ask you, what do you want to do? It can't just be get rich. I want to teach. I want to teach our young people. I want to study law. I want to be a doctor. I want to, whatever it is. But people who long to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped. I love what the way Paul put it, that they fall into temptation. Listen, we're led by our heart. When we're talking about falling into temptation and sin, we're really led by our heart's desire. And our hearts have to be shaped and motivated for the things of God and not the things of this world. But people fall into temptation and they are trapped. How many people are caught up in the money trap? That they've been in it so long, they're so trapped, that they're not mindful of the things of God and what God wants for their life. It's all about making that dollar bill, them greenbacks. It's all about chasing the dollar. He says, by many foolish and harmful desires, they plunge them into ruin and destruction. The text preaches itself. And these for the love of money. Now, this love is an unholy desire. It's not the way we love people, we love God. It's unholy. It's not right. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. People say money is the root of all evil. That's not what the text says. It's the love for money. That Mike, I got to have it, man. I want my pockets full. I want big bank. I want long money. And whatever it takes to get it, I'm going to get it. And whatever the chase is, I'm going to do the chase, y'all, so I can get the greenbacks. I can get that money. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And some people craving money have wandered from the true faith, and Lord have mercy, the people who were once committed to God, the things of God, had faith and trust in God, no longer have faith in God, but they have faith in greenbacks. They have faith in their money. Don't let it be so. And so it's John Wesley who is the founder of the Methodism or the Methodist faith. And so some, maybe your background is AME, your Methodist faith. John Wesley is the founder of the Methodist faith. And John Wesley had a whole lot to say about money, y'all. And so in stewardship campaigns, a lot of people use his motto as it relates to money. John Wesley said this, earn all you can, save all you can, give all you can. And so today, again, we're talking about earning our money rather than chasing it. And so first thing John Wesley says is this. He said this, earn all you can by honest industry using all possible diligence in your calling. Man, that's a mouthful. But Wesley believed this. John Wesley believed that everything belongs to God. And I believe it's true, too. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The world and they that dwell, everything belongs to God. The cattle on the thousand, they belong to God, and we belong to God. But here's something I liked about Wesley, that he felt like earning money through diligent, honest work, y'all, was a way of participating in God's redemptive plan in the world. Well, what you saying, preacher? So. When you earn your money, when you earn your dollar bills and you go to that job tomorrow with that smile on your face and that skip in your step because you're glad that you got a job and you got God in your heart, listen, when you go into that workplace, you're carrying God with you because he resides in you. And you never know who's on your job that needs a word from the Lord, who's on your job that needs some hope. And so, again, he says, earn all you can by honest industry using all possible diligence. That's being conscientious of the fact that God has called you. He called you out of the darkness and into the marvelous light. So even when you go on your job, God called you to go there. Do you hear what I'm saying today? So through work, God blesses us with money. And that money is there to help take care of our family, to help others. It's not just for us. So we ought to be diligent in our calling. What has God called you to do? Usually when we talk about that word calling, y'all, we think about the preacher. We think about missionaries that, you know, God called them to go to some foreign country and live in poverty and poor mouth and go and take care of people and all of that. And I don't believe in poor mouth preaching. I don't believe in prosperity preaching, but God, there's got to be a balance somewhere. I just don't believe that God called me to be broke. I ain't got to be rich. And somehow he walking a fine line now. Where was I? But what I'm saying to you is this. Listen, God calls all of us. And everybody may not be called to be a preacher or a pastor or a missionary, but you have to see your job and your vocation as a calling. That, yeah, you filled out a resume and you want that job, but listen, you're there as a Jesus representative. You're there to represent God. And so when you walk in and you ain't feeling like you want to walk in, Holy Ghost, help me. I'm walking into this place. Help me to be the salt that you called me to be. Help me to be the light that you called me to be. Help me to look out and see somebody, discern what they're going through, and speak to them, to speak your word into their lives. Earn all you can by honest industry. You're Jesus' representative. Listen, I remember a friend of mine years ago. Luther Jackson is his name. Luther worked in the dining facility. When I was in the Air Force, we were stationed in Egypt at the time. Yeah, we were out in the middle of nowhere, y'all, just sand everywhere. Wild dogs and snakes and little rats running around in the middle of the desert. But Luther, he stood tall. He kept his head up. And you would have thought Luther was a five-star chef, y'all. That whatever he prepared, he did it to the best of his ability. Now over there, I lived in what was called a hooch. It's an underground dwelling. We didn't stay above, but we stayed underground. I lived it with the cooks. Y'all, I loved it. Y'all, we had steak, and they had lobster, they had scrimps. They whatever they wanted, because they ordered all the food for the compound. Love, what you want? You want some rabbit? Love, we'll get you some rabbit. What you want? But Luther, he stood out with me, because not only was he excellent in his cooking ability, but he was a devout Christian. Now, I want y'all to walk with me for a minute. So I ain't married to Sister Love yet. I pledged my love to her, but I'm over here in the desert, y'all, with a whole lot of other 18, 19, 20, 21, and we're in the middle of the desert, y'all. And folk were wilding out. They were wilding out, y'all. It was almost like Sodom and Gomorrah over there. But you know what? Luther, God sent me a Luther Jackson. That at 19 years old, that God said, I want you to hold it together, love. Hold your stuff together. Hold it together. And Luther would tell me about the Lord. He stood tall for the Lord. That he walked the walk and he talked the talk. And he helped me to hold it together. That he was conscientious of his calling, that he was diligent in his calling. And so he was a blessing not only to me, but many other people on that compound in the middle of the desert. We didn't wild out, but through his service to God and his men, we held it together. I'll always remember Luther Jackson. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10 says this: whatever you do, do well. Because when you go to the grave, there will be no working, no planning, no knowledge or wisdom. So earn and do all you can now. So thrive on your 9-to-5. But build your own business. And my prayer is that your business would boom, that it would blow up, that God would bless your business. Invest wisely. Have fun with that side hustle. But the idea is not to overwork yourself, which leads me to my next point. Wesley also said this: earn all you can without paying for more for it than it is worth. Let me say that again. Earn all you can without paying more for it than it's worth. Y'all, all money, come on now, ain't good money. I know this is not the right vernacular. All money is it? But all money ain't good money, y'all. Earning all you can should not be at the expense, y'all, of your health and your life. There are more important things in life than money. I hope somebody catches that. I hope you get that. That money is not worth your physical. It's not worth your mental health. Testify. It's not worth it. And I believe that there's some jobs, y'all, long term, they can take a toll on you. I praise God for teachers in the house today, because y'all have some stuff to deal with. Y'all got to teach, you know, the art of pedagogy. Then you got to deal with classroom management. Then you got to deal with parents and them. There's some jobs, y'all, long term, it'll take a toll on you. Some people are crafted for certain things. They're built for certain things. And some people aren't. And I believe you need to know what you're crafted and you're built for and what you're designed for. Because you just might be on a job that's about to make you lose your mind up in here. So earn all you can without paying more for it than it's worth. Work is good to an extent, but don't let it cost your marriage. Don't let it cost time with your family. The children can't even get your attention because you come home and you're still in a work mindset. And they're like, mama, mama, mama. They can't get your attention. Daddy, daddy, can't get your attention. And we try to pacify them because we're doing good now, y'all. We can put them in gymnastics. We can put them in, and they can swim. They can do all that. And that's our way of pacifying our children. But what they really want, they want us. They want our time. I'm talking to somebody today. Because we're all about the dollar bill and building our own life. That's important. Yes, it is. And sometimes we say, well, I'm doing it now, so later on, listen, they'll be set up. Everything will be set up. How do you know you're going to make it that long? What does it take to give your children 10 or 20, 30 minutes of your time every day? To sit down for an hour and focus on them and let them know you are the most important thing to me, not this job. How many people carry the job home with them every day? You work all day, 40-hour week, you come home and you're working too. Husband can't get your attention. Wife can't get your attention. It can cost too much. Earn all you can without paying more for it than it is worth. And for those folk that are out there, listen, they say, listen, work makes me happy, that I get joy out of working all the time, that work is my relaxation. I'll say something, that you weird. God did not design you to work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Somebody said working 7 days a week will make you weak. Can drive you plumb crazy. So we're talking about earning money. Yeah, we got to earn the money. We got to pay the utility bills, the water bill, the mortgage payment and all of that. But it's for a higher purpose. It's to take care of our families, to take care of us, to help other folk, to honor God. So earn all you can without paying more for it than it is worth. And we have to get to this point, y'all. Listen, when we've done all we can, we've done all we can. Folk that, hey, I got to work. When you've done all you can, you've done all you can. So do this. This is deep. Take a vacation. Take a break. Genesis chapter 2 talks about the Sabbath, y'all. It says after 7 days that God stopped his work. He ceased from his work. That's an example to us. That after so many days of working, you need to cease from your work. You need to take a chill pill. Take a vacation. Take some time off. Oh, I knew this would be quiet. let me move on so we can go ahead and get to some Papa Doge, y'all. What are we going to do? We got to do something, y'all. We got to do something. Listen, it's about earning money, not chasing that money. Listen, Wesley says this, earn all you can, but not at the expense of your neighbor either. Paul said the love of money, this unholy desire for it, will cause you to steal, to cheat, to lie, to do whatever you can to get some money. It'll cause you to treat people unkindly. The love of money. If there's anything we know about God in the Word of God, is that God is love. In Leviticus, God says, love your neighbor as yourself. And your neighbor is not just a person next door to you. Your neighbor is anyone that God puts around you. It means that any situation, as Jesus' representatives, that if we represent Christ and we ought to treat our neighbors right on our jobs, y'all, that we can't take advantage of people and cheat people. So there are no gray areas in God, y'all. No, in the business world, listen, whatever you need to do, you know, wink an eye at it. If it ain't right, if it's immoral, that's what people understand, but you got to make the money. But we honor God by honoring others. We honor God. We follow God's word. We follow God's script when it comes to money and earning money and work and what we do on our jobs and how we treat people. That sometimes people can act all gangster, y'all. They can be gangster. Yeah, you ever watch those gangster movies, Godfather and, you know, yeah, Scarface, Al Pacino. Yeah. Hello to my little friend. Say hello. I like gangster movies, y'all. But you never ever notice in gangster movies, it's really all about the game. It's about power. It's about the dollar bill. It's about backstabbing and stepping on whoever you need to. It's about cutthroat because it's all about making the money. We would never do anything like that. We are not gangster. We are not gangsters, are we? But let me ask you a question, though. When it comes to your taxes, and you say, Nay, look, she ain't gonna file taxes, and she got three children over there. I can cut her a little something, and I can get these three children to put them on my taxes. Are you gangster or are you godly? Well, when it comes to hiring somebody to cut your grass, and they may not speak a whole lot of English like you. When it comes to hiring somebody to paint your house or to do projects around your house and you looking at them saying, listen, I'm trying to get the lowest bid that I can get. And you want to give them next to nothing for the hard work that they do at your house. Are you gangster or are you godly? When it comes to the church and coming to church and giving back to God and God has blessed you real good and you living real good and you living in that big house and you driving that night car and when you get to the house you say, God, here got $2, God. Are you gangster? Are you cheating God? Are you lying? Or are you godly? Earn all you can. But not at the expense of your neighbor. Earn all you can without paying more for it than it's worth. Earn all you can with honest industry and diligence. And y'all, I'm going to say this and we're going to be through with it. We need to go on with the Lord's Supper. Earn all you can, but not at the expense of your mind. We already talked about the mental and the physical. But when I talk about mind, when we talk about mind, we're talking about your spiritual mind. Philippians 2 says this, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but in no wise he considered that he humbled himself to the point of the cross. He gave up his life as a sacrifice for you and me. Humility and sacrifice. Paul said the love of money causes a person to wander from the true faith. And this true faith is all about humility and sacrifice and trusting God in our lives. And there are too many people that say they trust God, but really they trust their bank account. They trust how much money they bring in. And so it interrupts our spiritual connection to God in our intimacy with Jesus Christ. Earn all you can, but not at the expense of your mind, your spiritual mind. That Paul said, some people have strayed away from the faith because of money. Let me ask you again. Are you trying to chase it? You're trying to earn it. That we are people of conviction and integrity, and we don't do just anything to get a dollar bill. When our motives are impure, making money can become a burden to us. It can become a weight on us because we're always trying to figure out how to make money. And if you're a child of God and the Holy Spirit is living in you, and them bells are going off on the inside of you, say, listen, you twisted and you going the wrong way. Listen, it puts a weight on you. And God didn't want you to be weighted down as it relates to money. God wants you to earn money. So earn all you can. God wants you to, yeah, there's nothing wrong with having money. And so by trade, some of us make more money than other people, but listen, that doesn't make you any better. But there's nothing wrong with having a little money in your pocket. There is a way to work for God, to earn our dollar bills and our money without chasing money, without being so hungry for money, we'll do anything to get it. That we'll neglect our worship in church, we'll neglect folk, we'll neglect our children. Earn money, don't chase money. And I believe this, when we have the right attitude, when we take the right perspective about money, I believe that God will honor us and God will bless us and God will supply all of our need according to his riches and glory. So one day, a man walked into a particular church. Rather, he called the church, got the secretary on the line. Man said, listen, I'd like to speak to the head hog at the trough. Secretary, what'd you say? Man said it again. I'd like to speak to the head hog at the trough. The secretary said, wait a minute. If you mean the pastor, why don't you be a little bit more respectful and say, I'd like to speak to the pastor. Well, the man was a bit taken aback, and so he said, I just wanted to give a call because I want to give the church $25,000. The secretary quickly replied, listen, the big pig is right here. Let me put him on the line right now. Money talks. But money changes people. I like to put it this way, that money will bring out what's really in your heart. That money echoes the condition of our hearts. So let me ask you again, if money speaks to you, will you earn it or will you chase it? Will you respect it and handle your money in a godly way, or will you do anything that's needed to get your money? Amen. So let me leave you real quickly with a few application points. Listen, don't underestimate your income potential. Don't estimate what God can do through you to earn money. You don't have to be afraid of that or scared of that. If God is calling you now to say, hey, to keep dreaming and start your own business, go ahead and do it with God's leading. It's all good. If need, ask God for a godly vision in the ministry, in the business that you're desiring to have. Ask God to help you to create more money, more wealth for your family so you can pass it along from generation to generation. Some of us didn't have it like that. Then when we got up and got in this world, we were scraping and struggling the best we could. Wouldn't it be nice to be able to pass a little something on to your children? Now, if they're lazy, to keep it for yourself, spend it all. But no. But for real, though, that at least they can get a halfway decent automobile. You can help with a down payment on a house or something like this, stuff that we didn't get. That takes money. Work hard, but don't overwork yourself to the point that earning money throws you off your game. You don't spend time with your kids, your wife, a husband. You don't have to come to church no more because you're trying to chase the dollar bill. Don't let money throw you off your game. Love God, love people, and see earning money as a chance to glorify God, to be there for your family and for your friends and for your church. And this, y'all, never, never attach earning money with your personal identity and your worth. There's some retired people in here that you were in the work world one time. Now you're not working anymore. You still have value to God. You still have value to us. You still have value to me. You still have value to this ministry. Because some people get wrapped up and tied up in that. That, listen, it's about making the dollar so I look good before people. It's about my status. No, it's not. If people say they love you only for the sake of what you have, that's not love. So never attach earning money with your personal identity and your worth. You are valuable to God. And know this, none of us could earn our way to salvation with God. Humanly impossible. Because God is holy and God is perfect. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. We could not earn our salvation, but God gave us a gift through his Son, Jesus Christ, who gave his life for you and for me. So if you're in the house today, and you're not in a saving relationship with God, I want to remind you, you can't earn it. Well, I'm a good person, so I ought to go to heaven. It doesn't work that way. That, hey, I roll up in a church house and I write a check, y'all, and I drop it off. I pay my tithes. And, well, that can't save you. You know, I treat people right, you know. I do the best, and that can't save you. You can't earn it. It only comes through a relationship, belief in Jesus Christ. That we admit that we're all sinners, that we've fallen short of God's glory. We don't always get it right. We've all sinned and fallen short. But we believe what the Word of God says, that God sent his Son into this world to die for our sins. 3 days later, he got back up with all power, and he reigns forevermore. We confess our sins. We don't try to cover it up. We don't try to hide it. We confess it. And again, we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and the Savior of our lives. If you're here today and you have yet to do that, we invite you into a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you tune in online and you're asking, listen, I hear you, preacher. How can I do that today? There is a form, that's a link that's online. You can click on that link. It takes you to a form. And our new member ministry advisor, they will get with you this week when you fill that form out. So whether you are a born-again believer, you've been knowing Jesus for a long time, you've been serving for a long time, but you're not connected to a local church where you can serve with other believers, or if you're believing for the first time, we invite you today into a relationship with Jesus Christ, into a relationship with this family of believers, a church where we're connecting real life to a real faith. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, thank you for this word about money today. But even before money, God, it's about a relationship with Jesus. God, I pray for hearts right now that may not know you, that they know you in truth, that by your Spirit you would draw them. I pray, oh God, for that heart right now that's yearning to be a part of a ministry somewhere. Let them know that this is a good place to be, that we are not a perfect people, but you are a perfect God, and you have a perfect love for us. And here we are connecting real life to a real faith. We're trying to walk the walk and talk the talk. So Holy Spirit, do what only you can do. Draw them only as you can. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So our ushers are standing in the aisle right now. And so if it's your heart's desire to be a part of this ministry, you can get up from where you are. They will lead you to room number one across the hallway, where you'll find a new member ministry advisor. They'll take some information. We'll welcome you with open arms. If you tuned in today, again, there is a form that you can fill out. Fill that out. One of our new member ministry advisors will get with you, and we'll welcome you with open arms, either category. Saved, seeking salvation. Won't you come right now? We don't rush this moment. Take your time. Ushers are in the aisle. Won't you come right now? Yesterday is gone. Tomorrow is not promised. All you have is right here, right now. But the old folk used to say, why don't you receive him while the blood is still running warm in your veins? And Father, we thank you. If after this worship experience you decide, hey, listen, I want to be a part of God's kingdom, I want to be a part of this ministry, you can do that. Just meet someone across the hall in room number one, our new member ministry advisors, and they'll gather some information. We'll welcome you with open arms.
You've just heard Pastor Kevin Love of Living Faith Community Church, located at 1111 Tally Road in San Antonio, Texas. You're welcome to join us for Sunday worship service at 9 a.m. and Wednesday night Bible study via Zoom at 7 p.m. Living Faith Community Church, where we're connecting real life to a real faith.